Hey, what's up, beautiful Bailcast listeners? Welcome to another episode of Bailcast. I am Mama Bail Potato, Cutie Pie of the universe of the rainbow world, Bail, but Geo.
And I'm Bart.
I knew it. I knew it.
Of the Papa Bear Bear universe of the CUNY galaxy of the Bushies.
The Bushies! I love the Bushies.
What do you love about the Bushies?
That it came out of your son's brain. I love all the shit that comes out of that little boy's brain.
It's crazy. Like, you know how, like, I don't know if it was like an old school thought, but you know when like kids mispronounce things, right? And then adults can't wait to correct them. No, that's a blanket. For me, I'm like, all the words he uses are 10 times better.
Oh, way better.
Than the stupid words that we use.
Blanket? What the fuck's a blanket?
So now I'm calling my blanket a bushy too.
Yeah, let's call everything
a bushy.
I
love my bushy. I love his bushies. We got bushies everywhere.
Yeah, can you guys get bushies too? If you want to join the Bail Click, let's get some bushies underway.
They're going to get bushies too?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure everyone owns a bushy at home.
That's true.
You just have to identify it as a bushy. So if someone's like, hey, can you give me the blanket? You're like, the what? A blanket.
That's so 2020.
A bushy?
Exactly. That's 2021.
Oh, yeah, here you go.
Yeah.
That's what should happen.
So I wanted to ask you something because recently you've been looking mighty fine.
Aw, recently. That's kind of fucked up.
What? It's a compliment. Oh, my God. Guys out there.
What about it's
a trap. It's always a trap. It's always a goddamn trap. You give a compliment and you're fucked.
Well, yeah, just don't say recently I started looking good. Just say like I started looking better than ever.
Just same kidding. Thing.
All right.
Okay, so you started looking better than ever. And yeah, you got your little abs popping out.
Boom!
Your waist is getting slimmer and all that. And you have like this, like every day you're training or we even have like second sessions where we go on walks or we go on runs. So like your passion for my fitness is like at an all-time high.
Oh yeah.
Right? But then there was also a period of time where I remember like whether you were battling internal demons or whatever, and even though as a gym owner, you just felt so disconnected, and then there was like a 3-year, 4-year period where you didn't even really want to train and you just didn't feel good about it. And that's what people saw from the outside. Like, oh, cool. Like Gio's a little bit more disconnected with barbell. But from the inside, like being in a relationship with you, I know that these internal demons started maybe even 6-7 years ago. But during that period, you were still really gung ho. Like you still walked the walk, you trained your ass off, and you even competed in powerlifting multiple times at a state level, local level and all that. And I think for most people, if their brain or their heart's not in it, it's hard for them to walk the walk. But for you, even when your heart or your brain wasn't in it, you were still able to just like not only go through the motions, but like really smash your hardcore to the point where you deadlifted 336 pounds going through the motions, you know? So I think for most people, I don't even think people are able to even put on their gym pants, you know? Like, so I guess like what I want to talk about is, like kind of like the full circle of things and like kind of like what was going through your mind at every single phase of your fitness journey, because where you are at now is it really feels like at least from my point of view that it's unstoppable. Like the other day, Aunt brought in the most delicious donuts we have ever seen or smelled and you tried literally like an inch.
Yeah.
And it's probably out of respect, not even out of curiosity of taste. There's probably more out of respect than anything.
Yeah.
For me, I'm on a diet, so I ate like a half.
You ate the rest of it.
I ate the half, and then someone else can finish another half. And then Aunt told me.
You ate another half?
And then Aunt told me, hey, you didn't try the original, so I ate the half of that one. I think I ate 2 donuts. All the halves added together.
Yeah.
I ended up eating 2 donuts, so no wonder I woke up this morning. I was like, wait, I'm supposed to drop another pound today. What happened? But now I know. But yeah, like for you, like you're completely unstoppable right now.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool to see that. So I want to like kind of maybe dive into like every phase of your fitness, maybe even before like opening a gym, you know?
Ask me the question.
So when you're like a corporate woman and then, you know, we used to go like Bally's Total Fitness or LA Fitness.
This is before I even was with JK.
Yeah. Like what was your mindset on fitness then?
So I never grew up with with just having the upbringing of having fitness be a part of life. Like that was never really something that was instilled in me. It was more so arts were like a big thing for some reason. So maybe my mom was really into that. And I know she was kind of into fitness because we did have pieces of fitness equipment in the house. So we had like a treadmill. No. A NordiTrack. Remember?
You did have a treadmill. I remember that too.
Well, that was after. That was after. Not when I was living there, but we had like a NordiTrack.
Yeah, I remember that.
What that is? Like the whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. So we had that.
Probably one of your Mexican family members stole and just wanted to drop it off somewhere.
No, we're not that part of the Mexican family though.
Oh, you guys aren't the Steelers?
No.
The thieves?
No.
The robbers?
No.
The blogueristas?
I don't think that's a Mexican thing. I think that's just the class thing.
So
I didn't have like any of that. So it wasn't like a huge emphasis. And I never really saw anyone really working out. We just had that piece of equipment. And then we had like an old stationary bike.
What'd you guys use it for? To hang clothes?
No. I don't even know why it was in there. Honestly, I never saw anyone use it.
That's funny.
I think my mom has always been kind of into fitness.
Well, but she wanted to at least.
Always, yeah. Like, but I think the time when I came around, she was already older. So I think my mom was probably at my age when I was born.
Are there any younger pictures of your mom like looking like a fit mom? Like she got abs popping?
I don't think that was a thing back in the day, especially for women. And then even more so for women that came into this country. Like, in Mexico, it's not a thing to like want to be jacked.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about now. I don't know about the standards about now, but like you wanted her to be curvaceous. You know, you wanted her to be like voluptuous.
Yeah. Well, was she voluptuous? Were those pictures voluptuous? Yeah.
She was curvaceous.
She looked like if she was bouncing on like a trampoline to turn a couple guys on.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom had a booty and the rack.
Nice.
My mom was hot. Yeah. I mean, she still is hot, but you know, back in her day, heyday, she was really hot. So yeah, I grew up with a lot of arts in our family. So I danced a lot. I played instruments, like anything art related for sure. That was in my space. But I just think I naturally gravitated towards vanity, I think. Like I really did enjoy, you know, shapes as you used to call them. Like when you would look at people that were fit and you're like, I look at shapes. I don't look at the girl or whatever.
I still look at that shapes.
Fine. So I would see that and then I'm like, whoa, I like that. I want that. And I've usually been, as far back as I can remember, I've always been the kid that was like, I want that. How do I get that? It was never like, I want that. Mommy, daddy, can you help me? It was always like, I want it. What do I got to do to get that? So I've kind of always had that thought process. So because I was, you know, into the vanity stuff, I would, you know, see like Sports Illustrated models or Victoria's Secret models or I don't know. I was a big fan of like even Angelina Jolie, who really doesn't look very fit. Now looking back at it, but she was skinny. And I'm like, whoa, I think that's what fit is.
Well, that was the fittest for those standards of that time. Yeah. So for someone to like be that thin, but still moved around. Like, you know, like in Tomb Raider, she's like moving around hardcore. It wasn't like this person that couldn't play up to the part of these two big guns.
Yeah.
So I think like for that time, she was fit. You know, she was like the Wonder Woman of that time.
Yeah. Like I would have these pictures on my walls and stuff. And I didn't have anyone to turn to for fitness because I just didn't even know fitness was a thing. Like I just thought like you have to move in order to stay skinny.
So you didn't know who Ronnie Coleman was?
No, not at all. I didn't know anything about the fitness space. I just knew fat and skinny. I didn't even know that there was a thing about like females building muscle. Like I didn't even know females were capable of building muscle, you know, like I thought it was just a guy thing.
I see.
So for me, it was like, just remain skinny. So that's all I really cared about. So like in high school and stuff, I would just go in my room, lock the door and then just do a bunch of crunches, a bunch of push-ups and like calf raises. And that's all I would do. Like that's all I knew to do. So then once I was old enough to like afford a gym membership, like maybe 19, I started going to like bellies and stuff. Cause that was like, for me, it was freedom. Cause I just didn't have, my parents just wouldn't let me do anything. So I'm like, fuck. Okay, cool. Like I want to stay skinny and like now I can go to the gym and go out. So cool. Let me do that. So when I would go work out, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't even know that there were such things as like programs to follow. I didn't know. I'm like, just stay skinny. So I would just do treadmill or Stairmaster. That's about it.
So outside of school, it was like you could work and then you can go to the gym.
Yeah.
And those are the only two places.
Yeah. And then luckily, I had a new friend circle in high school because I was just headed down the wrong path with just the kids that I thought were cool.
Yeah.
So I was into drugs, doing a bunch of shit, failing a bunch of classes. I had to attend summer school to make up these classes. And then my senior year, or like junior going into senior year, I had a different group of friends because I just wanted to change my life around, I guess. That they were more on like the athletic academic side. So one of them was like, hey, you have great height. Why don't you join volleyball? Because my whole life, everyone's like, why don't you play basketball? Do you play basketball? Because I'm really tall.
Tall, yeah.
And
you have like, ginormous hands too.
Yeah, I have really big hands. Or they were like, do you play piano?
And floppy feet. So it worked really good.
I don't have floppy feet. Kidding. You just painted goofy.
I know. I'm just trying to clown you until you stop me.
You just painted goofy. You calling me goofy.
And a funny laugh too.
and yeah, she was like, hey, why don't you try out for volleyball? And I'm like, oh shit. They look really girly. Like, I like that. Let's try it. And then I made the team.
I love their outfits.
And then shut up. And then from there, like, I just got hooked on volleyball. Even then, we still didn't do any strength training or anything like that, but just the fact that I was like exerting so much physical, I don't know, not force, but just like being so physical, that like I really like that. Yeah. So I'm like, cool,
breaking a sweat, moving around.
Yeah, like my goal of staying skinny, I'm still on track, you know, like I really cared about that so much. And yeah, so then I had the gym membership and I just did the workouts that we did when we played volleyball.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the extent of my fitness knowledge.
You guys hit the weights or not? Or is it just like
in college we started to.
And that kind of stuff?
Yeah, in college we started to. That was the first time I was ever exposed to like weight training. And it was just with our group. But even then, my coach didn't really know fitness that well.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did like some dumbbell work. And then we did some like barbell work, but it was like very minimal, like very, very minimal.
Mainly bullshit, huh?
Mainly bullshit. Yeah. So
did
it wasn't
you guys do
like
power cleans?
No, none of that.
Yeah.
So that's too advanced.
That was like my wrestling team where like, I think that they probably just knew you're supposed to do weights.
Yeah.
So we just go in and then everyone just kind of went with what they're comfortable with. So a lot of the dudes just went straight to the bench.
Right.
Although the bench doesn't really help wrestling that much.
Yeah.
And we would have max outs and stuff and like go ham and like cheer each other on. But like when you look at it,
and your
legit,
coach was saying that's cool.
They just wanted us to get in an hour of weights, oh, regardless of what that means.
I see.
But when you see like a real strength and conditioning program for any sport, it's generally starting with power cleans. Like that's like strong, explosive hips is the key to athleticism.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like that's what I was assuming. I'm like, if he didn't know what he was doing, especially with volleyball, you need hops and stuff. If you guys are moving around just dumbbells.
We did nothing for hops at all, like ever. All I did was just test my vertical and that was the extent of that.
Yeah.
That was it. So, yeah, that was kind of the extent of my fitness knowledge up until I met you. Because before then it was like I would go to the gym, maybe run around the track or whatever. But like I never went into the weight side, like ever. I just stayed where all the chicks stayed back in the day, which is just the cardio section.
So when we first got together, before even JK and stuff, when you're working at the bank, being a corporate woman, we would still go to the gym. And I never know what you ran off to do.
Me neither.
But I had my own program that I would follow. Cause
your jail style training.
Yeah, my jail style training mixed with like some of the magazines I was reading, like from Muscle Fitness or Iron Magazine. I'm like, oh, cool. Today's like chest and arms or whatever. You know, I would just do whatever I'm doing. What were you doing when you would just go take off?
When I would bounce?
Yeah.
Okay, before I share that, let me introduce our first sponsor.
Shout outs to our sponsor, ZipRecruiter. Finding great candidates to hire can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Yeah, you can post a job out there, but all you can do is hope that the right person comes along, which is very true. We've gone through a lot of hiring cycles for both JK and Barbell Brigade, and it's actually very difficult to find the right candidate. And sometimes it takes a long time, and then you actually build a bond with someone before you found out it's not a good fit for both parties. So I do wish that this came along sooner, and now we will definitely use it for all of our entities. But that's also why you should try ZipRecruiter if you guys are experiencing the same thing. And you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Bill. So they do the work for you. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites with one click. And their matching technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. So that way you can get candidates real fast. In fact, ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day, which reminds me, I think I'm gonna do that today. And so right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Bill, B-E-A-W. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Bill, B-E-A-W.
And we're back. Okay, so normally when we went to the gym, we stayed there about an hour.
Yeah.
Right? It would be kind of crazy if we stayed there for like an hour and 30.
Yeah.
So I would do 30 minutes of Stairmaster and then 30 minutes of treadmill. That was it. That's all I ever did.
What was the motivation to even do that though? You know, like...
That I didn't want to be fat.
So that was it. So that was always, like your main driving factor is to not be fat.
Yeah. Because I just grew up in a family of...
fat people?
Of just like, yeah, just seeing people not be the weight that I wanted, or like just not looking the way I thought I wanted to look.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just having older brothers and sisters and stuff and getting clowned on and stuff.
Clowned on you for being fat when you were a kid?
I wasn't fat, but they were just saying like that was like what you didn't want to end up like. You know, like they're like, wow, you're going to get like that.
I'm going to be a gorda.
Yeah, a gordita, you know, gordita. And you didn't want that, or yeah. I didn't want that. So yeah. I think they had struck a chord and saw that they did.
Yeah.
And I was really young.
So like, that was like your worst nightmare to become a gordita.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. I think it was just put in my head so much that I was like, I don't want that. I don't want that ever. You know, so I think subconsciously I just carried that with me everywhere.
So like after that, so okay, you always wanted to be away from your worst nightmare, and that's kind of what drove you, right? That's kind of maybe like what's the underlying subconscious.
Yeah, I think so. And then I think just being influenced at, you know, just looking at everything that Hollywood was doing and just, you know, the magazines and everything that was presented to you, at least I gravitated towards that where I'm like, whoa, these people are so hot. And what makes them hot? Well, oh, you could see their bone structure and you can see, you know, they're this size, you know? So I think a lot of that also played into it where I'm like, not that I wanted to be famous, but I'm like, wow, I want to look like that. Like, I don't want to look like an average person. I want to look like all the people that I see that are famous.
Sometimes being influenced, I think, is a good thing. Because then there's sometimes. Also there's also like the big guy eating a Big Mac while looking at like Captain America comic books. And I'm like, that guy's not being influenced at all.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't say it was a bad thing.
Yeah.
It was just, it's just, I feel like that also contributed to it.
Yeah.
That I saw it all around me, and I saw that, like, I guess I equated being successful and powerful and whatever with like that, like it just all fit together.
I see. So moving from there, from like this more general fitness, well, not even general fitness, it's just like what you know. So you're just like, I'm gonna do 30 minutes of cardio followed by 30 minutes of cardio.
Yeah.
Moving into like first really starting to weight train with me, what was your thought process behind that? Like, this is like maybe just a year or two before opening barbell, maybe I've already just competed or right about to compete for the first time. Like, what was your thought process about like hitting the weights now and not doing the cardio?
So one thing, it was actually one thing that you said that really struck a chord with me back in the day, and I think you probably even asked, like, when you go over there, what do? Right. Because I think you always wanted to, like, you were always trying to coax me to go to your side and to train with you because you're just such a clingy bitch. Like, you always want to be together.
Very clingy.
I'm just kidding. No, you're not at all. That you were like, well, what do you do over there anyway? Sorry. And then I told you, and then you're like, but do you feel like it's working? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't feel like it's really changing anything. And you were like, then why do you keep doing the same thing if you keep seeing the same results and you don't like those results? And I'm like, wow, that's such a simple question. And you're right. And I think at that point, that's when I started going with you on the weight training side. And I felt absolutely out of place, absolutely intimidated. I felt like, sorry, I felt like everyone was staring at me and going, what is this fucking bitch doing on this side? She doesn't know what the fuck she's doing. So it was a really scary place for sure.
The funny thing is no one's staring at you now, probably, but really back then, they probably were actually. You know, like back then, like when
there was, right, there's no chicks on that side.
Yeah, back then, really, like I think, what is that, like early, not early 2000s, but like early 2010s, when fitness wasn't really as widespread as it is now. Like now there's actual fitness brands, right? Like before it's just wear your old college clothes, your old college t-shirts, your old soccer shorts. Like that was it, you know?
Yeah.
There's no...
It's like the stuff that you're about to throw away.
That's your workout
clothes.
That's
their last life.
Yeah, there's no yoga pants. They're like, people were probably doing yoga in like Walmart sweats, you know? Yeah. And then so back then, I think when any guy that saw a girl walk into the guy side, you're like, oh shit, what the hell? Like,
yeah, what's she's going here on with her here? Boyfriend for sure.
Yeah, like what's going on over here?
Yeah.
So when you first started lifting, what did you get into? Powerlifting?
When I first started lifting, it was more bodybuilding with you. And then that bodybuilding changed to more of like a hybrid style of like, we started doing CrossFit with bodybuilding.
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember.
And then we started, and then I think you got into the powerlifting side because you missed competing.
Yeah.
And then we started doing a hybrid of CrossFit with powerlifting. So that was like the main, like the main training style that we did.
And did you like, did you like all of that?
Oh man, I loved it because I played sports. So I just missed that environment of like training with people and then just like doing a whole shit ton of cardio. And like, so I really did enjoy the CrossFit stuff, like all the WODs and all that stuff that we used to do. I really enjoyed all that stuff.
And when we started barbell, what was your thought process then? Was this like, okay, cool, like I really like training now? So at this point, were you still training for vanity or did you like training for the sake of training?
So once you did your first powerlifting meet and like we were both absolutely out of place because it was just like 40 people, including spectators and lifters and judges. It was such a small event and it started off with the females opening, right? Because it goes by weight classes. So obviously most females tend to be lighter than guys. So there was, I think it was like the 132 chicks were up. And this was the first time I had ever seen a girl squat more than, or just like more than a plate.
Yeah.
And she was so pretty. Like she had blonde hair. She had really tight like quads. Like she had a really nice waist. Like she just looked really fit. And I was like, holy crap. Like she's fucking badass. You know, I don't remember her name, but like I saw her and I was just immediately drawn to like the idea of being absolutely stunning and then absolutely beastly at the same time. And once I saw that, I'm like, holy shit. Like, I really want to be that. Cause I always felt like I've been that. Like, I always felt like I was very feminine on the outside, but then on the inside, I was very masculine. So I just felt like that sport, like really like called for me, you know? I'm like, fuck, I think that's what I want. I want to look like a unsuspecting chick on the outside, but then I'm like really fucking capable. So then now when it came to training, that was like the main motivation of like being kind of on the beastlier side. And not beastlier like in terms of what I look like, but just being able to move around weights with the boys. Like that, that was really, really fun. Yeah.
So you actually fell in love with the training and you fell in love what your body was able to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember like the first time I went to squat when you're trying to teach me, I couldn't even squat the fucking bar, which is 45 pounds.
Yeah.
Like I was struggling so hard. And I thought that was so cool.
And then did you like the way your body looked? Did it still
check
the vanity?
Too much.
Did it check the vanity
Absolutely.
Box?
Absolutely. Yeah, it did. But it didn't really change too much. Like, yeah, like I maybe my butt got perkier and like, yeah, I didn't really notice too much of a change where I'm like, where I hated it or like I absolutely loved it. It was just like me being able and capable. I think I liked that way more.
Mm. And then so when you opened the gym to continue to train and to create almost like a destination for training, how was your feelings on training then?
So at that point, that's when I started to feel like a big phony.
Why?
I started to feel like a big phony because I'm like, whoa, what gives me the authority to open up a gym? Like I just became really judgmental about myself where I was like, what gives me the authority to open up anything fitness related? Like I just got into it. I'm such a novice in this sport. Like I know absolutely nothing. Like who do you think you are? Like the dark side of Gio started really going in on myself and going like, why would anyone respect what the hell you're talking about? Like, you don't know anything. Like, what are you doing? You know? So then I just kind of disguised that feeling with just saying, hey, it's okay. Like I have a lot of conversations with myself, but back in the day it was more like that Gio and then the other Gio coming going, but it's okay. The excuse is nothing like this exists. So we just want to do what we want to do that works for us. And I think I was able to coast on that for a little bit. So I was able to shut that side of my, you know, that dark side off a little bit to just like be like, no, this is fun. Like you love business. You love, you know, creation and like building stuff. So let's keep doing that because this stuff doesn't exist. So let's keep going in that direction.
When does the coasting stop?
The coasting, what do you mean?
Because you just said you were coasting on that. So when did the coasting stop?
Damn, I think it started stopping right after I introduced our next sponsor.
Thank you to our sponsor, Felix Gray. Did you know that we are exposed to blue light almost daily? Like a major source of blue light would be phones, your tablet, your computer, your TV, Kindles, even the LED light bulbs are shown to emit more blue light than their incandescent counterparts, even though they are more energy saving. And there's a lot of symptoms that can be caused from it. I know for myself, I experience headaches. For some of my friends, they get dry, tired eyes, and even trouble sleeping. And exposure to blue light at night can impact your melatonin secretion, which is the hormone that regulates sleep. So our eyes weren't meant to look at screens all day. It's actually meant for nature, right? You want to stare and look at trees and stuff. So it messes with our internal balance with effects on our sleep, which can cause stress, headaches, blurry vision, and eye fatigue. So that's where the Felix Gray glasses come in, because it comes and it filters in 15 times more blue light from your screens than other clear blue light lenses to help restore all of your internal balance. So go to felixgrayglasses.com/bill, B-E-A-W, to shop the glasses that work as hard as you do. That's F-E-L-I-X-G-R-A-Y, glasses.com/bill. There's free shipping, free exchanges, and 30-day money-back guarantee. You know what that means? That means you can wear these glasses all damn day, and if you still can't fall asleep or you still get those insane headaches, you have 30 days to get your money back. So give it a try.
And we're back. So I think once I started feeling some sort of burnout, because at that point we were doing JK full time. And then when we had, you know, a few hours left in the day, then we were doing barbell building.
That was actually full-time. Like JK, double JK full time, right? That was like JK or maybe triple time. Was it skits, party, and news?
And we had Ask the Feels too.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, it was a shit ton of shit.
Damn, like, we used to go crazy.
Yeah. It was shit. Nuts. Like, we had so many shoots because we had the films, we had party, we had news, we had Ask the Feels, we had our personal channel.
God damn.
Our personal channels, because we hadn't even merged our shit yet. So we had like our couple ones, like the Bart Kwan channel, the Gio Antoinette channel. And then I think it was like, I just started really getting burnt out, and I didn't realize, like, I just wasn't in tune the way the generation now is in tune with their emotions.
Yeah.
I just was like exhausted. And I was just so tired. And then you and I weren't doing really well. Like, we didn't really have like a relationship. We had like a business partnership.
Yeah, colleagues.
So like anything I was feeling emotionally, like I didn't really, one, didn't know how to express it like in a healthy way. I was probably like really fucking grumpy and I didn't want to train. And then I think for you, you probably saw potential and you're like, what the fuck? You're wasting your potential. All you want to do is like not train. Why do I have to drag you to the gym? You know, like it was probably shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, I'm like, why do I even care so much to train? Like, I'm not even good at it. Like,
you're really good at it. You deadlifted 336.
Well, at this point, like,
and for all your people out there, like, I can do 336. The weights are round numbers. It's because when you compete in kilos. And then so the kilos are round even numbers. But by the time you convert it into pounds,
it gets all funky.
Yeah, it gets funky.
What was I saying? Oh, and yeah, like just being susceptible to like, you know, people always correcting your fucking form and like everyone's an expert.
Oh, when like it in comes the comments to, and stuff.
Yeah, you know, and I'm already kind of self-conscious of like, you know, I was following like some heavy lifting chicks out there, you know, back then we had what's her name? Valentine?
Agent Valentine.
Yeah, we had Agent Valentine who was like, she's squatting like, I mean, she's not squatting, but she was like, I think she competed in like 115.
She was squatting. She's squatting like 400 pounds.
Right. But she was competing in the weight class 115, squatting around 400 pounds. And that was just insane.
That was insane, yeah.
I would follow people of that caliber. And here I am squatting maybe like 225 or like working my way up to 225.
Which is insane because even 225 for a guy is a lot of weight.
Fine.
For the average guy that lifts.
Fine.
225 is a lot.
I know, but I'm comparing, you know what I mean? Like, I was robbing myself of all the joys that I was capable of and the shit that I was accomplishing because I was comparing myself to all the top people out there. Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I'm so far behind. Like, I'm such a phony. Like, it was for sure imposter syndrome, for the fucking sure. And I just had a lot of like internal shit that I needed to work out. I don't think I knew myself well enough back in the day. You know, like I just felt like everything I did, like I shouldn't be doing because I don't know anything.
Did you ever feel that about me? You're like, I don't know shit. My husband or my boyfriend doesn't know shit. There's two people that don't know shit open a gym.
No, I didn't feel that.
You didn't feel like I don't know shit?
No, I didn't feel like you didn't know shit. I just felt like we're both just kind of learning together. And I know I'm not an idiot, and I know you're not an idiot. So I just followed your lead a lot because fitness was your thing and you've been studying it for so many years that I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Okay, let's move in that direction.
Because I definitely felt imposter syndrome too.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, you competed one time and you opened a powerlifting gym. You know, it's like one of those.
Yeah, we were fucking memes.
Yeah, it's like imagine like a white belt and does one jiu-jitsu tournament and they open the jiu-jitsu school.
That's literally us.
That's literally what happened, you know? And then it's like.
And it wasn't even like that. You know, we were literally just trying to find, you know, our footing and shit that we wanted that just didn't exist.
Yeah. And it's, and you know, at that time you have like West Side Barbell, is like the world renowned, like that's the mecca of powerlifting. That's like,
and you had Metroflex too.
Yeah. That's like the Gold's Venice. That's like the Gold's Venice version of powerlifting, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, and then here comes like this little Asian kid with a Mexican wife and we open a gym and people are like, wait, let me go check the fucking world record stats to see where they line up. And they're like,
they're not even there.
They're not even on there. And then, you know, and then even in the first powerlifting meet we ever did, it was like all white people. And then there was like a small group of five Asians that came to support me. You know, like David was in there, Frank was there,
Joe
was sleeping in the car. And it was just like so out of place. So I definitely felt imposter syndrome since the beginning. Like, I don't think I had the authority to do any of it, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't know that you were experiencing that too.
Absolutely. And then
How come you didn't talk to me about that? Like, you're like,
we didn't talk about shit.
That's true. We did talk about Sands of Anarchy a lot.
Yeah. I mean, but we didn't talk about anything vulnerable, really.
True.
Like, I didn't know anything vulnerable about you, and you definitely didn't know shit about me.
Yeah.
Like, we were just so focused on everything else we were building at the time that it's like we just didn't have time for that.
Do you think it was actually a good thing, like a blessing in disguise, that we didn't talk about shit, that we just kind of kept plowing? We didn't like really check in on each other's boo-boos. We're just like, fuck it, let's go.
I don't know. I think it's really hard for me to like focus on the past too much.
Yeah.
So like when you ask me this question, I don't really have much to say to that because I always look at where I'm at now.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful where I'm at now. And I love where I'm at now.
So you think it's a good thing that we didn't look at each other's boo-boos?
Absolutely. Like, I think we had to go through what we had to go through in order to learn the lessons that led us to here, you know, because I'm just so happy now. Like, I feel, like you said, like super unstoppable. I feel like really dialed in with like who I am, what I want, who I want around me, what I'm trying to accomplish, what I want my son to witness. Like,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, like I'm in a really cool space. So yeah, I went through some like really shitty times. But I don't know. I just don't know how to live in the past. So I think that was what really helped me.
Yeah.
Even though I hated it, because I know you asked, like, you hated this stuff, but like you still did it for fucking years.
Yeah,
you know?
Still competed and did all that stuff.
Yeah. Like I just felt like, even though I didn't believe in myself, I just felt like the people around me were so dope and so positive that they really believed in me. So I'm like, oh, okay. They obviously see something I don't, and I don't want to let them down. So let's keep going.
That's sick.
Yeah.
So after feeling burnt out, do you remember if you had like a last straw moment? You're like, I'm just not going to train anymore. And then boom, just stop training.
So getting my boobs was kind of a blessing in disguise for me because it finally gave me the out that I was like desperately seeking, you know? So I'm like, how can I train now? Like I have boobs. And because I was comparing myself to so many strong chicks, my freaking throat. Because I was comparing myself to so many strong chicks out there, I was like, well, of course I can't get stronger because now I have boobs and like it like bothers me when I bench and now I can't do these things. And like now I have an excuse to be weak.
But there's so many strong chicks with boobs.
Absolutely. But I mean, just mine reacted differently. You know, like remember I mean, now it's better, thank God. But like, I think my body was trying to reject my left breast for some reason.
I see.
So I just had so many issues with my left side that I couldn't flex that muscle without feeling crazy amount of pain.
I see.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. It's not on me anymore. It's on the boob. Like I have like a scapegoat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was like the perfect out.
Oh, it was the perfect out. And then a bigger out was even like when I had Tyka, you know, because I'm like, I'm like, okay, fine. I can only use this excuse about the boobs for so long.
Yeah, it's like 4 years later. I'm still recovering, guys.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna keep going through the motions because I do own a business brand. Like, I mean,
do you feel more imposter as someone who barely powerlifted and opened a powerlift or like a strength gym? Do you feel more imposter there or someone who owns a gym and doesn't even work out at all?
Well, I feel more of an imposter. What was the first one?
So do you you know, the meme, right? Do you feel more of an imposter or powerlifted once, open a powerlifting gym? Or do you feel more of an imposter owning a gym but not lifting at all? Because from the outside, if we were to examine this whole imposter scenario,
yeah,
it just seems like jumping from one imposter syndrome to another imposter syndrome.
I think I felt it the whole way through. Like, it didn't make
a
difference.
Was one worse than the other?
They were both equally bad.
Really?
Yeah, they were both equally bad. But then I think I'm so good at looking at the bright side of things. Like, yeah. I can really go in and examine and tell you all the bads.
Yeah.
But then with that same type of passion that I gave you with all the bads, I can give you all the goods.
That's awesome.
So that's what I mean. I'm always like battling myself in my own head.
Yeah.
With good and bad. Yeah. So when I would say feel like this imposter syndrome, then I would tone that down by saying, but hey, this didn't exist for you. You made this happen. So who gives a fuck how many times you competed? Who gives a fuck how many times or how much knowledge you know in this space? Like,
yeah,
you created what the fuck didn't exist because you needed it and you did it for yourself. And that made me feel good.
Yeah.
Like momentarily. And then when I wasn't training anymore and I still had the brand, it was more like, yeah, who gives a fuck? You don't have to train in order to be a business owner. Like, it's just a business.
Yeah.
Like you're just running the back end. Like, that's you don't true. Have to be in the front.
Yeah.
And then I would tell myself, like, you're not slaving away to be like, look at me. It's more like, hey, I'm doing the big shit in the back end. So like I would remedy those feelings with those thoughts. Yeah.
And then when did you start to, like, I guess, come back to full circle where you're like, you know what? I do need to train.
Yeah, that was fun. Okay, but before I get to that, I'm going to introduce our next sponsor.
Shout outs to our sponsor, Best Fiends. Best Fiends is such a fun game, and it's cool because I don't have to worry about playing this game with my kid running around and then looking and then seeing like someone's freaking head getting chopped off or guts or then people like getting blasted in the face. Because it's just all these little slugs crawling around in the garden. It's super colorful. And sometimes both me and Tyker are entertained just by me playing. So what's awesome about this game is that you can play it. There's thousands of levels to play, and there's a ton of really cute characters to collect. So if you never get tired of solving puzzles, the good news is Best Fiends, the fun never ends. So you can download Best Fiends free today at the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, okay? Best Fiends, FIENDS, Best Fiends.
And we're back. So I had just quite a few life events, like very huge life events happened to me in such a short period of time that could have either broken the fuck out of me or like made me really look at the potential of being broken and then going, nope, not today, Satan. You know, so I had like, so it started off with you and I nearly ending everything,
yeah,
shutting the whole fucking Baleverse down, like, shutting, like, me completely being out of JK, you know, when JK was like was just smashing it.
Yeah.
And then us, you know, parting ways from Barbell, either me getting bought out or just shutting down the whole brand together, like all of that being completely gone. Like our friend circle is going to get all fucked up, you know, because we broke up. So then that happened. We start working on that. Right. So that already is huge. So in the middle of that happening, no, that was after. Before that even happened, my father unexpectedly passed. Out of nowhere, I get a phone call. Yo, dad's dead. I'm like, what the fuck? I was not ready for this. I was we were living in downtown LA. We were living, you know, on the 22nd floor or some shit next to the Staples Center. Like, it was fucking awesome. That happens. And then you and I, our relationship fucking explodes like months later or within the same month. Trying to fix all that. And then, you know, so we do a lot of internal reflecting, self-reflecting, trying to work on all that shit, you know, what led to, you know, whatever decisions we made. Fine. We finally have a hold on that. And then maybe a few years later, get rocked again. And, you know, life as I knew it with just like friendship circles that I had, like that shit just, you know, things started surfacing. You know, I started seeing things in people that I was like, holy fuck, you know, not to blame anyone, but like seeing things in people that ultimately became like a mirror, right? Like I started seeing people in my circle, and through them, I started really seeing myself, if that makes any sense.
A little bit, can you elaborate like, a little bit more?
Yeah, like I would see, you know, their life choices, or I would see, you know, how they spoke or how they thought. And then I'm like, oh shit, like your circles are a reflection of you, mm-hmm. right? Like, isn't there like that saying, like, look at the five people you're closest to and that should tell you who you are.
Yeah, you're like the sum or the average of your five closest
people. Yeah, so when I started looking at things like that and like circles that I was in, cause I'm like in multiple circles, I was just like, holy shit, I'm lacking a lot of things, and I didn't like that. So I had my close people around me, and what I mean by like when I'm like, oh, they're a mirror, like they were showing me things about myself, not intentionally and not on purpose.
Yeah.
Like the way they were behaving towards me, I was never blaming them for how they were treating me. It was more like, oh shit, what did I do to either cause that or put myself in this position?
Yeah.
Right? Because you could never control other people. Like, I'm never going to blame other people when I feel bad about my situation. Yeah, right? Yeah, like, yeah. Maybe, like, I could blame you or whatever because you're, like, in my close vicinity and I'm venting. But, like, ultimately, in my heart, I'm never blaming you for literally anything because I can't.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I get it. It's like what David used to say where, like, he would go to meetings and then everyone would treat him like hella cold. He goes, what the fuck? Why is everyone treating me hella cold? And he looked in the mirror and he goes, oh, should I have resting bitch face?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's why. Okay. It's not that they were doing it on purpose. People were scared of him.
Yeah, it's just a reaction.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
So then when I started really self-reflecting in that way, then I'm like, oh, fuck. Like my world really got rocked. Because I'm like, holy shit, who have I been? And like, I don't like that. Like, I didn't like how I was feeling about myself. I didn't like, you know, the things I was discovering about myself. Like, when I was really digging about, like, wait, why did I react this way? Why did I get triggered here? Why did I get sad? Why did I say that? Why do I even care about what I said? Like, I started asking so many why questions about myself and my decisions and my reactions and all that stuff that, like, it really fucked me up.
What's the thing that you didn't like the most? Or one of the things you didn't like the most?
So one of the things that led to all of that, I just felt like I didn't have any deep connections with anyone. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why do I feel like I don't have deep connections? Like, I was craving a deep connection so bad. And I'm like, I know I'm capable of it because I'm always so down. At least I thought, right? I'm like, I'm always so down to share everything. Like, I'm such an open book. Like, ask me and I'll fucking tell you, right? But kind of like the David example that you just gave, I have a fucking RBF all the time. So who the fuck would want to ever get close to me? Because I have this vibe of like, oops, like where I'm always like this.
Yeah.
So if people try to get close to me, they see this. But in like behind that, I'm going.
yeah. But they don't see that.
No, they don't see it at all because I'm like this so hard.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
And you didn't even know it.
I had no idea. Like, to me, like, who said this? Was it you or Joe? Or somebody said this. It's like, in your own story, you're the fucking hero.
Always.
Like, you're the best person.
Yeah.
So I kept going.
You're the hero,
like,
of your own movie for everyone.
So I kept going, I'm capable. I'm open. I'm so down. Like, why aren't people connecting with me? Why can't I have this shit? And it wasn't until, like, I really started asking these questions, like, the correct questions and the shit that I didn't want to face that I started facing, that I'm like, oh, fuck, it's all my bad. Like, it's all me. So that, like, at that point, I want to say maybe 2018, 2019. Initially, I thought it was an us thing, right? Because of the relationship shit that was happening. That then turned to like, nah, bitch, it's just a you thing. And you can't say us for anything. So when that started happening, I really was like so excited and absolutely scared and like really confused, but I was just excited to just begin digging and uncovering and getting these breakthroughs so I can just understand what the fuck is going on in me that's preventing me from achieving the goals that I wanted to achieve. And then once I was able to like sort through that shit, I mean, it's a continuous thing that I'm going to keep doing until the day that I die. But I got to a point where I was like, oh shit, okay. A lot of the stuff that I had issues with in the past, I think I've been able to uncover a lot of that where I'm like, okay, to start moving forward now. So then once I was able to start moving forward now, I was like, okay, well then what are my goals? Obviously it's to make deep connections again, or not again, but like to make deep connections. Another one is, just trying to be more vulnerable and just kind of like caring less about what others think about you, you know. And I thought I didn't care about what other people thought, but I cared so much, you know, cause I'm a product of like a lot of bullying. So because of that, I think I was always on like edge of like, I got to have the upper hand at all costs. I can't show anybody that I've been hurt in any sort of way. I'm not going to show any weakness. I'm going to be quick with like comebacks. Like I was just always on the defense. Yeah. Did I not answer something? What happened?
No, I just thought you had more to say.
Oh,
it just
I don't
seemed
know.
Like an abrupt ending.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
What was I saying then? Fuck.
You were just saying like, I was always on the defense.
Yeah. So.
And then I was like, oh shit. Oh fuck. Okay.
Yeah, I guess that, I mean, that's it. You
like
know,
the burglar like, came in the house, broke through the window. And I was like, oh yeah? Yeah, and I held a knife.
I think I lost where I was going, but.
What'd you do with the knife? You're on defense. What are you doing with the knife?
Yeah, so then because of that, okay, I got the question.
I like how you put it on me too. What? Did I stutter?
No. I know. I was like, well, like, did I not answer your question?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, no, we're far past the question now into your own story.
Sorry. So yeah, once I was able to figure all that shit out, then I started writing a list of things, not literal, a literal list, but I had like a mental list of like what I wanted to accomplish. Right. So the things that I said, like the connections, being more vulnerable, and I wanted to say yes to more things because I just felt like at that point I had used being an introvert as a crutch.
Yeah.
And I hated that.
I
fucking hate any sort of crutches. I hate any sort of like self-imposed limitations. Like I felt like I was just too much in my comfort zone and using this introvertedness as like, oh, that's why I don't want to be around people because they drain my energy. You know? And like, bitch, shut the fuck up. Like I was just tired of my own bullshit. So then, I think it was, yeah, so that was like a lot of 2020 for me, or like 2019, mid 2020. And then towards the end of 2020, like we all went through fucking COVID, that I was like, ugh, I miss people so much. Like I want to just do my shit now, you know, like I want to, like 2020 was supposed to be everyone's year, especially my year. This shit happened. I just felt like I had a year wasted. So then one of our friends, Matt Vincent, who I fucking adore and is like family to me now. He's like, hey, we're going to do this thing for New Year's. You guys should come through, but it's going to be in Utah. And normally I would have been like, never hung out with these people, really. Like, I know what they're about. I absolutely love and respect them, but we've never been that tight, you know? And for me, for you to get close to me, at least back in the day, was like, I'm going to have this attitude until you prove that you're fucking worth it, you know? Mm. Like, complete bitch.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know I was doing that. I was just really reserved and just observing to be like, are you going to hurt me or not?
That's called being a bitch.
The external, this part, for
sure.
But on the inside, it's because I'm the product of bullying.
Yeah. On the inside, you're like trying to have this defense mechanism protecting
your heart. Literally, yeah. Like, are you going to hurt me or not?
But then like, on the outside, what people don't see, like, you know, like the tough guy that comes in, people don't see the, oh, that's the bullied little child that's inside.
Yeah. So, he came around and invited us to that. And I was like, oh shit, universe. Okay. I see you. And I'm like, here's the test. And I was like, let's go. Let's do it. So then going out and like, we were just complete children on that trip, which I absolutely loved. It was like a bunch of successful, highly respected people within their own, you know, within their own industry that have built these magical fucking brands and are living are living freely, which I absolutely love. And I got to see them play and I'm like, holy shit. Like, that's how I felt I was. Like, I felt like, you know, when we first started JK, we were all at play and it was just fun times, just building. And nobody was in, like, at least for JK, nobody was there to outshine anyone or be better than anyone. Everyone was there to really support each other. And that kind of, like, I lost that because I think we were doing so much over the years that when I went back and hung out, you know, with that circle of friends now, like family now, that I was like, holy shit, I had lost this piece of myself. Like, I didn't even realize that I wasn't even living for myself anymore. I realized that I had put myself and my needs and my wants on the back burner. I was living with fucking imposter syndrome for such a long time. I didn't even realize it. And when I got to play and just be a kid again and just like not give a fuck, I was able to make really deep connections like quite quickly. And I'm like, what the fuck? This is so tight. Yeah. And that was kind of the catalyst to, I mean, not really a catalyst because I had already been working on myself for so long.
Yeah.
But that was like the cherry on top to be like, you're heading in the right direction. Yeah.
And how did that come back to like actually training now and then actually like sticking to your goals? And like I just did the 30-day jumpstart, right? Which is like a program on Bartle Brigade for those of you guys who want to jumpstart your fitness. And it talks about from training to mentality to nutrition to recovery and all that stuff. And me sticking to a detailed program, I couldn't tell the difference that you weren't on one.
That I was not?
Yeah, like you're just so driven. It was almost as if like you were shooting content for an entire like training product that you're about to launch, but you were just doing it for yourself. I was doing it because not only do I enjoy training, but there's also an entire like content series are about to come out. So well, I better,
for business,
so I have to do all of those things, right? Because it's all part of like that whole package you're trying to create. But for you, you were just on the same train doing your own thing. Like how did, it was just inspiring to see you do all that on your own.
Thank you, cutie. Okay, before I answer that question, I'm going to introduce our final sponsor.
Shout outs to our sponsor, Bulldog Yoga. It's no secret that we're all juggling a lot these days, right? We got jobs, families, we're stuck at home, there's quarantine, there's missing toilet paper at the supermarket, and not to mention the emotional baggage of last year, which I feel like a lot of us are still dealing with this year. So it's really important that we have to find a little bit of time to take care of ourselves. And we've all heard and read about the amazing benefits of yoga. You get increased strength, better flexibility, improved mental focus, and a nice little But many of us have tried yoga and never gone back or have been afraid to try just because of how intimidating the experience can be. I know for me, the first time I was there, I'm like, you know what? I'm athletic and I'm in these positions and I'm freaking shaking. And then I feel like there's all these invisible people laughing at me, even though everyone's really supportive. What's awesome is you got Bulldog Yoga. And Bulldog Yoga is online and it's about taking the intimidation out of yoga and replacing with music, smiles, and no judgment. So Bulldog Online is about making yoga fun. Hell yeah, fun. And they streamline online classes or on demand anytime, any place on your schedule. So if that's 2 a.m. or 5 a.m. or 3 p.m. in the afternoon, you could do it whenever you want. And there are choices for all levels from beginner classes to heart pumping workouts. And the classes range from, check this out, 12 minutes. So there's no excuse now. That's literally, you can take a bathroom break at work to all the way up to 60 minutes. So I tried it. I really enjoy it. The classes are very engaging and I love the music. And it was, I actually did feel like I could just do it and kind of progress at my own pace without people going like the invisible people laughing at me. You could try your first 30 days for free at bulldogonline.com. That's bulldogonline.com. Use the code BAEW, B-E-A-W for additional 50% off your first paid month. Again, that's bulldogonline.com, code BEAW.
So like what finally clicked that I was just like so driven. So I think it was just years, like from the point where my dad passed to like that New Year's trip that we took. I think all of that time that I spent in my own head or like our conversations of like, you know, talking about literally everything and being completely vulnerable with each other and just like holding space for each other to like put it all out there without any judgment. all of that training, I guess, if you will, when I landed for our New Year's trip and I saw, you know, like I was able to share pieces of myself that I had never felt comfortable sharing, and just being free and feeling free and just like just accepting myself. Like, I think that trip really helped me just kind of accept myself, because I'm like, I'm a good ass person. Why am I so hard on myself? Like, when I came back, it just felt like I had this fire in me that was finally, I finally allowed it to feel air, you know? And once I gave it, like, I fanned it a little bit, it just got big. And I'm like, oh shit, this is fucking tight. I'm like, I gotta keep this shit on. Like, this is too cool. Like, I can't believe I suppressed it for so long.
Oh, this cute.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you don't suppress it anymore and keep giving it air.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Why are you crying?
I don't know. Cause I'm like, it trips me out that like I did that to myself. You know what I mean?
To what?
Like, I know that I have like this fire inside of me. And for like so many years, I suppressed it for whatever reasons.
And you don't even know why?
No, I know why.
But you just feel bad that you did.
Yeah. I'm just like, damn, that kind of sucks that like I put myself down like that. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're here where you are now.
Thanks. Me too. It's fucking fun.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's really fun. It's fun going like, and this was the first year we set goals like together. But like independent goals, not like together goals, but like, setting goals and like saying, nah, this is what I want. And like really sticking to it. Like, that's been so fun and so rewarding.
You should put the story out on your Instagram.
Which one?
The one we just talked about. It's very inspiring. It's very vulnerable and it's very honest. And I think it's like, what is it? It's like, we started Barbell Brigade in 2013. So maybe like a 2011 to 2021, it's almost like a 10-year fitness journey, right? So it's like a 10-year fitness journey that it's so long because it predates Instagram that people won't even get the full scope of what you actually had to get through to get to what you do now.
Yeah.
Because on the surface, people might just be like, oh shit, yeah, Gio really cranked it up the last couple months. Man, she looks good. But it's like, dude, if you only knew what it took to really crank it up, it's not just...
It was 10 years of fucking
pain. Yeah. Hey, it's not just that one, you know, that one thing. And then people go, oh man, I wish I could just crank it up. And it's like, no, it's way harder than an I wish type of thing.
Oh yeah.
Because if you were in your shoes for the last 10 years, who would have known where anyone would have been, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that'd be like something good to post on your Instagram, like just like a summarized version of it to like, maybe even with coupled with like some carousel pictures, you know, to like really share. And then... And then I think like also in the fitness space, like whatever people experience, I think the social pressures of social media, I think in the fitness space, it's actually tenfold.
Oh, yeah.
Because not only are you, you know, the pressures of social media that's a meme. It's like, oh, man, the person with going on the awesomest vacations and the most beautiful backgrounds. It's that can be bought. Right. If you save up for a couple months or you don't spend or you get the bonus from work, you can go buy your Hawaii vacation. You can do that in like
easily obtained.
You could do that. You could do that in like a month, maybe. Right.
Yeah.
But in the fitness space, it's that plus the most perfect body you've ever seen that takes like years to create. Right. So it's not something that like, well, I'll just save up and I can buy that body. It's a lot. So it's whatever social pressures you feel. Add another layer of freaking Superman like Chris Hemsworth laying out under a palm tree. You know, that's even more insane. So like I think for you to be able to share your story and like show kind of like how it the whole journey to getting there, I think would be awesome and be very beneficial to a lot of people.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll think about doing that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, fuck, did I mess up my makeup? Oh my God.
Who cares? That's bigger than your makeup.
I know. Oh my God. I'm like crying everywhere.
Yeah. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really proud of me too, actually. I would have never said that either.
I know.
Not wild.
I was proud of myself today.
Why would you do?
I actually physically pat myself back on the back of the
shower.
That's
so cool. What did you do?
So I just came back from a run this morning. And I was in the shower and I was showering. And I was like,
You were showering in the shower?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Because that's where you shower.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you told us.
Fine. So I was showering in the shower.
Okay.
In the shower room. And I was like, I fucking hate running. I'm like, I really fucking hate it. Right? And I was like, fuck. And then I'm like, I pat myself on the back. And then I was like, wait a second. I also ran a marathon. You know? And I'm like,
that's amazing.
I'm like, do I hate myself? I literally sign up for things that I fucking hate. And it's almost to the point where, like, the minute I have an inkling of, like, I don't want to do this, then there's, like, you know, like, everyone always has, like, the angel and the devil, right? And it's always, like, well, whoever the side is, like, oh, that water looks cold. And the other
That's the fucking devil.
Yeah, the other person's like, what'd you say, bitch?
That's the angel.
That water is cold to you?
That's the angel, dude.
You're going to let something affect you like that and belittle you and disable your abilities? I'm like, take your clothes off right now. You're jumping in, you know?
And which one did you consider the devil and the angel?
I don't know. I don't even know if I have labels. I just have two people talking all the time.
Yeah, same.
At least two people.
Yeah.
And then so that's what I realized. I was like, oh, shit. I think in order to really grow, you got to do the things you hate.
That's the thing where they're like, if you're in your comfort zone, you're not growing.
Yeah,
baby.
You have to do the things you hate. And even after I did the thing I hate, like the epitome of it, which is running 26 miles, I ran 3 today. I still fucking hate it.
But that's tight.
I fucking hate it.
But like, you know, you're capable of doing it, you know?
Yeah. But
so
I
it's
was
like
just,
you hate it, but like now imagine the person that's never done it and keeps sticking with I hate it.
Yeah.
They'll probably never start.
And in the epiphany, that I learned today is it never ends. You know, like I would think that like, okay, I fucking hate running. I'm going to make myself love running. I'm going to sign up for a marathon. I hired a marathon coach. I trained for 3 months and I put on, I think I ran almost, it's got to be like 100 miles a month, at least maybe 200 miles a month training for the marathon. Right. And I'm like, cool. After this, I'm going to love it. You know, because everyone's always looking for the destination. Everyone's looking for the dentist destination to cross the finish line and go, you know, like even retirement.
Like I have this skill that I'm going to retain forever.
Yeah. Like retirement is that concept. Like everyone has that concept of like, oh, if I only get married, we'll no longer have relationship problems. You know, everyone wants to reach that like
coast,
that like airport lounge feel. Right. I reached it and going back to ground zero, I still fucking hate it. And I'm like, I think that's just part of life. You're just always going to hate or like things, but it's part of the journey to keep going. You know, it's just part of it.
Yeah.
There'll never be a time where your living room's not going to have Legos where you step and it's peaceful. There's always going to be Legos that fucking poke you in the foot.
Yeah.
And it's going to be up to you if you know how to smile in those circumstances or not. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, that was my epiphany today.
That's a great epiphany.
And then I didn't even pat myself on the back after the marathon. You know, I was just so relieved that shit was over. And today I ran 3 miles and I pat myself. I physically was like, damn, that was good.
Yeah, well, I mean, because the 26 miles, like that was the goal.
Yeah.
To run that and you achieved it. So you're like, finally, I am done.
Yeah.
But with this one, you don't really have an immediate goal.
Yeah.
It's more like,
it's just daily work.
Exactly. So it's like, fuck, I hate it. And I still put it in my daily work routine. Like, that's amazing. Like, I think that's really cool too.
And the sad part is I was like, as soon as I pat myself on the back.
You cramped.
No. That was funny. And I pat myself on the back. I'm like, oh, you did your daily work. And then the other person popped up like,
see you tomorrow.
No, it was like, oh, you think you're done with work today? You're swimming tonight, motherfucker. I was like, no. It was like, oh, daily work, huh? You think you only work once a day? Oh, buddy. Oh, man. Oh, you had got it all wrong.
I don't know who the angel that
two-a-days,
is
motherfucker. Two-a-days.
Fuck. All right. Well, on that note, babies, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you guys so much for listening to my story. Thanks for asking all those questions. Yeah, that was a very interesting emotional roller coaster I just shared. But yeah, leave me some feedback. Hit up my Instagram. My DMs don't fucking work. So just hit up my comment section and all my pictures. Check out our YouTube channel. We still are uploading there. And check out Bart's Instagram. And also want to say thanks to our sponsors. So thanks to ZipRecruiter. See for yourself right now. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Bill. BEAW. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Bill. And thank you to Felix Gray. Finally, a pair of glasses designed for the 21st century. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/bail to shop glasses that work as hard as you do. That's F-E-L-I-X-G-R-A-Y glasses.com/bail. Free shipping, free exchanges, 30-day money back guaranteed. felixgrayglasses.com/bail. And Best Fiends. Make sure to download Best Fiends for free today at the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R. Best Fiends. And thank you to Bulldog Yoga. Try your first 30 days for free at bulldogonline.com. That's bulldogonline.com. Use code BAEW, B-E-A-W, for an additional 50% off your first month. Again, that's bulldogonline.com. Coupon code BAEW.
And last but not least, check out barbellbrigade.com. It's your home for all things strength, training, supplements, apparel, gear, equipment, everything that you need to help you get strong. And launching soon in April, we'll be starting a blog section to share all kinds of information to help you get strong, both mentally and physically. Go to barbellbrigade.com.